אנחנו מדברים נתיבות שלום על פרשת ויחי. וישבע יוסף את בני ישראל, פקוד יפקוד אלוקים אתכם. יוסף made Israel promise, he said to them, redeem, God will redeem you, ועליתם את עצמתם מזה, and you will take up my bones from here with you. ועמדו המפרשים על עניין כפילות הלשון. The commentaries point out that there's a double terminology here. Redeem, God will redeem you. And the commentaries discuss what he was saying in that. גם יש להבין, we'll also have to understand, בעצם עניין גאולת מצרים, in the essence of the redemption of Egypt, שדרשו חז'ל, our sages explained, מהפרשה ועברתי, that when it says in the Pasuk, I will pass in Egypt, so our sages say, it will be me and not an angel, it will be me and not a seraph angel, Hashem himself. And what is this great level that Hashem personally comes to redeem us from Egypt? Yosef says, redeem, God will redeem you. And then the verse indicates it was Hashem personally and not any angel or messenger. Isn't an angel the messenger of Hashem? So what? Why is it different? Why is there that stress that Hashem personally does it? So the Netivot Shalom says we find there are two types of redemption. There is the redemption that we call Be'ita, and there's the redemption that we call Achishena. The Navi says, Ani Hashem Be'ita Achishena. The Navi says, I am Hashem. When the time comes, I'll do it quickly. Our sages say, if it's the right time, that's not called doing it quickly. If you're doing it quickly, that means you're doing it before the right time. So our sages had a tradition that that verse should be understood as two options for redemption. Not one answer, but rather, Hashem is saying, either the redemption will come on time, or you guys will do what you're supposed to do, and then I'll bring it more swiftly than it's time. So the idea of the redemption of Israel has two concepts. There are two ways in which it can play itself out, either what we call Be'ita, and it's set time, or what we call Achishena. Be'ita is a time where Hashem says, whether you deserve it or you don't deserve it, regardless of how you behave, I will redeem you. And that's what Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to his children in this week's parasha. He wanted to tell them, when is that limit? And Hashem wouldn't reveal that. And that's where the Shekhinah left him and said, you're not revealing that. Then there's another redemption called Achishena, when the Jewish people work up to it and they merit that they should be redeemed. As the Talmud and Tractate Sanhedrin tells us, Zachu, if the people purify themselves, they merit. So then Achishena, Hashem says, I'll bring the redemption more quickly. Lo Zachu, they don't purify themselves, they don't merit. So then Be'ita, the Talmud says, that then the redemption will come at its time. Now, the redemption from Egypt could not be either one of those two, because Be'ita hadn't yet come, and they hadn't merited Achishena. We know they had gotten down to the 49th rung, to the gates of the most defiled places in the world. And that's why in heaven, Midat HaDin, that exacting justice in heaven, kept saying, why redeem them? Why are they any different than the Egyptians? They're as pagan as the Egyptians. So we didn't move up the rung. We didn't deserve Achishena. We didn't deserve a speedy redemption. And yet, Hashem couldn't leave them in exile anymore. We reached a point where there'd be no one left to redeem. Where our souls were in dire danger. He couldn't leave them in Egypt another minute. That's what the Torah says, that Hashem took us out b'chipazon, quickly, that we were about to fall off the cliff, spiritually. And we'd reach a point where we wouldn't be redeemable at all. And that's why that redemption from Egypt, we say, was done quickly. They didn't have time to make bread. Everything was quick because you couldn't leave them there anymore. So the redemption wasn't, so to speak, wasn't the course that redemption would ordinarily take. And it's as though the redemption had to come from a higher place. It wasn't working within the system, even the godly system of the world. Within God's system of the world, there's Ita and Achishena. And that's what it says in the work Torat Avot. The grandfather of Slonim on Parshas Vayetzer says that we have Rosh Hashanah, we have Yom Kippur, we have the conclusion of the decision, so to speak. that there's an order that Hashem runs the world. And that's decided on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem decides what things will happen within the natural course of events. But Hashem is the source of good and the source of kindness. And then there's Hashem saying, I'm going to run things the way I see fit, outside of the order of things. That's the idea of Rachamei Shamayim, the mercy from above, like a father that has mercy on his son. And there's no limit. A father says he does deserve it, he doesn't deserve it. I care. I'm going to do what he needs. And that's what the redemption from Egypt was. You notice that in the redemption from Egypt, the verse repeatedly calls us Hashem's children. Malchutcha ra'u banecha. Bokeayam lifnei Moshe, we say. Your children saw it. It says that when Hashem's presence revealed itself in Egypt, so the Shekhinah called out. Does anyone know what the Shekhinah said? Two words. Banai hem. They're my children. It's as though someone's beating up on the kid and his father comes in and says, that's my boy, don't you dare. Right? Banai hem. The Shekhinah appeared in Egypt with the plague of the firstborn, which would be the redemption of Israel, and made a declaration, they're my kids. Technically, the system didn't allow for us to leave Egypt. Our time wasn't up, our behavior didn't warrant it, but Hashem said, I can't leave them there anymore. What'll happen to them? There'll be no one left to redeem. So Hashem says, I'm entering the picture. The idea that he's saying here sounds like a Hasidic idea. It is actually also quoted from the Brisker Rav. The very concept that he's describing here, as we often find that concepts in Hasidut have a mirror image in the Lithuanian, in the, call them the Misnagid world, the Beis Halevi, Rav of Brisk, Rav Levi Soloveitchik, said that this exact concept, he worded it slightly differently. He said that there's the natural order that mankind understands in the world. We understand there's gravity, we understand there's science, we understand. Then there's the heavenly order. That's where the angels, things make sense to them. And so that's why sometimes to the angels it makes sense that certain things will happen in the world, that Sodom will be overturned. We don't understand it, but to the angels it made sense. When you have heaven's picture, when you understand from a standpoint that's more spiritual, then it makes sense that there will be certain outcomes. And then there's Hashem that's above even that, where Hashem says, and that's why the angels came and said, why should this happen? And Hashem said, that's because they're my children. I'm doing what I want in this world. It doesn't fit your system. It doesn't fit the human system. It fits my system. That's what I want in the world. Same idea as what we just learned, only from a slightly different vantage point. So we're coming back to the Ntivot Shalom. We can explain this if we think of a king that's sitting on his throne and he's wearing his royal clothing and he sees that his son fell into the sewer. So technically, he should say, I'm wearing my royal clothing. I'm taking him out of the mud. I'm taking him out of the sewer. Let me call one of the servants. They'll take him out. But the king realizes that if he waits till he calls a servant, the kid might drown. And then there might not be anyone left to save. So what does the king do? He jumps in himself. And he jumps in with his royal clothing. It's not what you expect the king to do. And people might see him, and it might be beneath his dignity, but it's his boy. So what? He doesn't care. He says, I'm the king. I'm not, that's not important. So the redemption from Egypt was this concept. The angels, so to speak, say, we don't, it's not within our programming, it's not within our system. When's going to be that split second where they're going to be in danger and we have to take them out of Egypt? Hashem says, I know the split seconds when people are in danger and I'm going to go into Egypt and take them out. And that's why the idea of the redemption from Egypt is to undo any order. By the way, that's the idea of the term Pesach. Pesach means to skip over, according to one understanding. and it's skipping over any order of things. It says in the Song of Songs that Hashem came skipping over the mountains. Hashem says, I'm skipping over the necessary procedure because I love them. There's no limit to my love. And that's what Yosef tells the people. He says, Pakod Yifkod Elohim Etchem. Yosef told them, I want you to know, there will be two forms of redemption. There's redemption of Be'ita and Achishena. There's redemption that works with the system. Do they deserve it? Don't they deserve it? But there's another type of redemption that's above all that. And that's what's going to happen in Egypt. It's a redemption that's not contingent on a system. But whenever something's going to come from above, there has to be a preparation down below. And what preparation can we make so that there's great things from above? That's the development of a person's emunah. When a person believes that Hashem loves Israel, and there's no limit to that, when a person believes that Hashem is good, and there's no limit, and there's no end to His mercy, and even if he doesn't deserve it, and even if the system is not, he doesn't fit into the system, but there's still a love there. There's still a connection there. That's when a person connects to the point where Hashem connects to him above the system. And Israel was redeemed from Egypt, our sages say, because they were ma'aminim, because they didn't lose that connection. And we can understand that that's what Moshe said. How can I take the Jews out of Egypt? Vehin lo yaminu li. They won't believe. Wait a second. He didn't understand that the Jewish people's hallmark is that we are believers. How could he say they won't believe? What he meant is, why should they believe that you're going to do anything on their behalf? They know they don't deserve it. They know there's no room for them to be redeemed. They know they're pagans. And my brother Aaron came and said to them, God wants to take you out of Egypt. Stop worshiping those idols. They didn't stop. They continued making figurines of gold which had idols on one side and the tetragrammaton on the other side. They know where they're holding. I'm going to come and say, God says he's taking you out of Egypt. Why should they believe in it? They know they're not deserving. They know what the angels are going to argue, that they're no different than the pagan Egyptians. But will they know that your mercy is greater than all that? Moshe says, no, they won't know. And that's what afterwards says the nation did believe. They realized that Hashem was going to take them out of Egypt. What they realized was that Hashem's connected to them beyond any system. You do deserve it, you don't deserve it. The connection is still there. And Hashem cares. Now, this is a very important concept. This goes back to the concept that the Nativot Shalom spoke about over and over again, that there are levels of growth, and then there's a core spark within a person that connects to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that a person has to know there's always that spark that can be fanned into a flame. A person has to know that there's always that level of connection, and it doesn't matter how far a person has fallen, and there are times in a person's life where a person feels like, there's nothing redeemable about me. There's no redeeming quality. There's nothing. There's no reason whatsoever. The Ribbono Shel Olam should care, should love, should connect to a creature like myself. Well, those moments he has to remember, the Jewish people were literally at that stage. And yet Hashem says, you have to remember that even there I'm connected to you. Even there I'm caring. And even if you don't deserve it, I'm still caring. And I still want what's right for you. And I still want what's good for you, and even if you don't deserve it. I was walking, it was Chol HaMoed, must have been married 2 years, and my wife and I were on the way to the Kotel, and this huge fellow starts walking towards us. Like, at least twice my size. I guess that doesn't make him big enough, so maybe more than that. Really big guy. So I tell my wife, you know, you stay back with the kid. And I move forward and I ask the guy, what do you want? And I see the guy has tears in his eyes. And I can't tell if he's drunk or what, he speaks with an accent, and he says to me, can I ask you a question? So I'm already thinking he's going to ask me for a donation. So I said, okay. And he says, does God forgive? So I looked at him for a second, and I'm thinking, this is a trick question, right? I said, yes. And I see that he's serious. So he says to me, God forgives even when we do something wrong? I said, yeah. And he says to me, how do you know? He says, God forgives even when we do something really wrong? I said, yeah, God is willing to forgive. It's up to us to be good people. But he says, you mean there's always a road back? I said, yeah. And he said, prove it. So I said, well, think about it logically. If you're a parent, even if your child has done a lot of things wrong, you want them to come back. What do you want from them? What you want is that they should take the road back. And it doesn't matter how far down the road they've gone. What you really want is for them to turn around that car and come back. And so logic dictates that the guy wasn't holding by Tanakh, right? I said, logic dictates. If we didn't have our tradition, if we didn't have the Torah, if we didn't have the Shas, if we didn't have all the other sources, but logic says he created us. If you're asking if you could come back, that means you know there's something he wants you to do and something he wants you not to do. So even if you've gone pretty far down the road, he's still, the only thing he wants, he's left you alive. Then what he wants is for you to come back. So then, yeah, there's a road back. That was it. He never asked for a donation. He asked to know where he could learn more about what Judaism says, what the concept of tshuva was. And with that, our conversation ended. That's a concept that we have to hold on to. The idea that there's always that connection, that Hashem doesn't give up. For years, I was wondering why we say Rabba Emunatecha. I was always taught as a child it means how great is our belief in you. And I never understood. Emunatecha always sounded to me more like how great is your belief. So today I understand that grammatically your belief can mean that which is believed in you, not only your belief in others. Emunatecha could be emuna becha, not only shelcha. But for years I didn't understand that. And that's why after many years of being bothered with this question, I heard this pshat that says, Rabba Emunatecha means how great is your belief in us. You gave us another chance today. And I really liked that. That was the first time I heard such a pshat. But that's a very empowering concept. Hashem has faith in us. He's given us another chance. He's given us life. That's a concept that holds a person in the darkest hour. The idea that as bad as things are, I was given life today, right? That means I'm supposed to do something with it. If I'm here, I'm supposed to do something with it. God believes in me. He gave me a chance today. I'm here today. Supposed to do something with it. That, the Netivot Shalom says repeatedly, is a concept that at the darkest hour is going to hold a person. He has to be able to connect to that little spark within him and say, okay, as frustrated as I am, as wrong as I am, but I'm given that. I'm given life, so that means I'm supposed to do something with it. That, says the Netivot Shalom, is the faith Am Yisrael had. Yosef HaTzadik tells them, God's going to connect to you. And when Moshe shows up, they're willing to believe it. And based on what we just learned, we can understand better what Hashem sends Moshe to tell Pharaoh. Hashem tells Moshe, tell him, so says God, my chosen, my firstborn son is Israel. And God says, send my son, I want him to serve me. You're refusing, I'm going to kill your firstborn. Why did Hashem tell Moshe, tell Pharaoh, my firstborn son is Israel? Why does Hashem have to tell Pharaoh how much he loves us? Paro's force, Paro's might, was stemmed from the fact that he also knew that redemption has to come for one of two reasons. Either the time is up, or Hashem's chosen based on our behavior to make it quicker. So Paro says, gee, they were told they're going to be here 400 years. Their time isn't up. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to get away with it. They aren't behaving. I've gotten them to sin. There's no way they're coming out. So Paro was sure he'd get away with things. Paro says they're just like Egyptians. They're as pagan as we are. There's no way they're coming out. So Hashem tells him, I want you to know they're my chosen, they're my firstborn son. And everything else you discussed is relevant to the servants, but they're my children. And then children you treat differently, different than the order of things. And that's the idea that we say, Al kol pesha'im techase ahava. Love is covers for everything that's done wrong, love covers for it. We could also understand that Hashem told him to go tell Paro, B'ni b'chori Yisrael, that's the verse says, okay, this is a whole new pshat. I'm just going to skip to the personal part. He says, when a Jew is on the lowest level, and he doesn't know how to get out of it, and he doesn't feel like he's worthy of Hashem redeeming him, so then the advice is that he should connect to this idea, Hashem is good, and His mercy is never finished. And when a person is down and out, so what the Yetzer Hara does, he's got no more, the guy's transgressed so much, where's the Yetzer Hara attacking him? The Yetzer Hara tries to get him to think that he has no hope. His Yetzer Hara is on one concept. The Yetzer Hara tries to get him to feel like there's no hope. And that's when a person has to arouse within himself that concept, that idea, connecting to the concept that Hashem is above any calculations. Hashem does want a connection with me. And that's the idea of the Exodus from Egypt, that's at the core of the Jewish people's being. He develops another concept. He says, the pasuk says, "Hen yikteleni lo ayachil." The verse says in Job, "Even as he kills me, my hope is for him." Even as he kills me, Job says, "My hope is for him." Job recognizes that Hashem is both the source of his problems, but also the source of his solutions. And so even when a person feels like he's lost, what he has to work on is that idea that Job taught us, lo ayachel. Beforehand we spoke about the eternal connection, now we're speaking about an eternal hope. A person who hopes for the Ribon Shalom ultimately reconnects. The place where a person can try to escape into that bubble of connection is on Shabbat. On Shabbat, you're suddenly away from the rest of the world. Shabbat has the capacity for a Jew to suddenly find himself free. Shabbat is freedom. And Shabbat allows a person to skip the stage of tshuva. For a brief bubble of time, even though a person hasn't worked out his tshuva, he merits a level of connection that he doesn't have the rest of the week. A connection to the emunah, to his concepts, to his connection to his creator. A connection to the concept that Hashem is running the world. When a person works on his Shabbat to be the way it should, so then a person can connect on levels that he can't connect the rest of the week. That's in a nutshell.